Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Crystal Clear Moments. Hi there, I'm Crystal Blackwell, your host, executive coach, speaker, and your biggest cheerleader on this journey of transformation. This just isn't another podcast. It's a space where aha moments happen, where we get real about the twists, turns, and breakthroughs that shape us. You know those moments when everything just clicks? Well, that's what we're here for. Every episode, we dive into powerful conversations with inspiring leaders, change makers, and everyday warriors who have faced challenges, embraced growth, and found clarity in chaos. We'll laugh, we'll learn, and we'll learn to leave every conversation a little wiser and a lot more empowered. So if you're ready for an eye-opening, inside bold conversation, and some serious motivation, you're in the right place. Let's get clear, let's get inspired, and let's make every moment count. This is Crystal Clear Moments, where one breakthrough can change everything. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to Crystal Clear Moments. I have been working on this for quite some time. There's two treats going on. Well, I'm going to say three exciting things going on with this podcast we're going to listen to today. For one, number one, my most exciting part of it is that I finally have some Gen Zs in the house. And you know that everyone knows I have a soft spot for this generation and the things that they're doing in the world, you guys got to tap into it. I mean, just amazing things. You know, Gen Zers have a way of being under the radar, but still making a difference. So I love that under the radar. Unlike other generations who are like in your face, they're doing a lot. So I'm happy to be able to feature Gen Zers. The other thing is too, I'm surrounded by gentlemen. For the first time ever, someone brought me flowers. So we'll talk about who that is in a little bit. But I'm like, okay, I love it. So, you know, I always talk about Gen Zs, or they're very classic in the way they show up in their value system. And did it not show up? Like, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. So I got flowers, and that's the first time. And then thirdly, these gentlemen, they're my son's friends, like best friends, and not like besties from yesterday, like back in the day, little guys on the playground at elementary school. So these are his ride or dies, his come ups. And to see, you know, these young men like grow up and become who they are, for me being on the outside looking in, it's pretty amazing. So I am so grateful and thankful. So before I go into this podcast, I want to thank all of my listeners for my 5.0 rating. Thank you so much. Continue to listen, continue to share, provide feedback, because I want to be able to share all of everyone's crystal clear moments. Yeah. So let me go ahead and start. Yeah, and jump right in. Yeah. You know, this is definite conversation. So let me give you this. I asked for a bio, and you know what? They show up as a group because I have a group bio. I didn't get like an individual bio. I got like a group bio. So I don't know if you guys caught that. That's like very unique, but I also find very cool and very much so in line of what you do and who you are. So you guys are definitely a team. So I'll read it off and then we'll just dive right into some conversation. Small Town Beef is a Phoenix-based production company founded by three friends. Aiden Harris, who's 23. So here's Aiden with the beautiful hair. Like, he is given, ladies, beautiful hair. And then we have Zane, who's tall and handsome. Oh my God. I mean, I'm telling you guys, beautiful, handsome. He's the one who brought me the flowers. So thank you so much. And then we have Cyrus, who walked in like, okay, this is a production place. He walked in kind of working. So I got to get him out of work mode because he's a workhorse. He's walking in, checking out this place here that we're doing. So I appreciate his talent and his time. I remember when you and Kobe did that video. What was the name of that video?
Kobe's Plan?
The God's Plan parody.
Yes. Yeah. I knew then that there was something going on. You guys. You knew that God's Plan. You guys were in high school.
I got him an A on his final.
Yes, that was actually, that was fire. Seriously. Thank you. I've even told Kobe to find that for me so I can see it. I think it, I want to like put that back out there and just let folks check it out, but it was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So Cyrus, I saw your gifts and talents.
Thank you.
You know, a long time ago. I've been watching. You guys all connected as a unit at Arizona State University, ASU. So these are our Sun Devils here. I'm a Sun Devil parent, so loving that. Worked together in summer camp. That had to have been a trip. Like, yeah. Was it with kids?
That's where I'm going to put it. Yeah.
Or was it just like another?
It was kids and adults. Oh. There was special needs.
Okay, yeah. I did summer camp, too, when I was young, and it was a lot of fun. It was one of my favorite jobs ever was in summer camps. Great memory, especially with the kids, learning about them and stuff. So the team produces a diverse range of projects, from commercial work to local small businesses, schools. Independent film is where I was exposed when you guys did your short film, did your documentary, right? Mm-hmm. Here in Arizona, in Tempe, in one of a theater, which was sold out. Like, it was packed. You guys, people were coming in left and right, you know, and it wasn't a small theater. It was nice size. And we'll talk about that. And that launched fall of this year. It was full length feature. You guys won some awards, which you should feel really good about that. Doesn't it feel good when you work hard to get reward for it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
it feels good. Yeah, that's good. So let's go ahead and have some dialogue here. So take me back. Take me back when the three of you realized, you know what, we're going to do this. We're going to start this company.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, I think it kind of started off as a friendship, and then it kind of evolved into, you know, I think it would be cool to do this project, and then that kind of snowball effect. You know, when we first did In This World, I Am King, it was just going to be like a short documentary, and it kind of turned into this full-length project, and we didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into until, you know, we were already there for like 2 weeks filming hours of footage, you know, bringing it back. So.
But how did you know, like, you guys were going to be the production company? Like, how did that, how was that birthed?
Well, we had already like made a lot of projects together for classes in ASU and just for like different like competitions. Like, for instance, we've done like a short film together for a horror film competition. It was like a 5-minute film. So we already had like that experience together. And then once we graduated from college, we were all kind of three like faced with like this like what now kind of moment of like,
oh, okay, I remember
what,
that. Like, yeah. That's scary.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like life is happening now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so like it's like, okay, so what now? We have this degree in filmmaking, but like filmmaking is definitely a career where like it's in your own hands. You know, you can't just like sign up with like a company and then do what you want to do, right? So Small Town Beef, like as a production company, was like a natural response to that, like feeling and that urge to create movies together, and create art together.
So, Small Town Beef, like, what is that about? How'd you come up with that? Small Town Beef, what does that mean?
It's all Aiden.
Yeah, it's Aiden.
It's Aiden's idea.
So my family, my mom, she's from like, she grew up in a small town in Arizona. It's a town called Coolidge, Arizona. It's like 30 minutes from Casa Grande, if you know what that is.
I know where that is.
Very small.
Yeah.
Like, very, it's definitely decaying. No, yeah, like definition of a small town. But so occasionally I'll go there, and I went there a lot during my childhood. Almost like every time I go there, either my mom or like a family member there like fills me in on like some drama that's happening with the family, and it's like consistently with the same people involved. And it's just very like it's a very vicious cycle.
I know where you're going. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like one time, like they were like filling me in on some information that I really want to hear. And I was like, oh, this is just like some small town beef. And then like that just kind of stuck. And like that kind of became like a weird focus of like for me. And I guess these two too, for the documentaries, like small towns and like the dynamics that evolved from that.
I love that. And I think we all can relate to like small town beef in terms of the drama. But I think it's kind of cool how it became the name of your production company. Like, it's catchy and it's relatable and you can't forget it. Like, cause you know, and I think people like that. People want things that's easy to remember and it's relatable, you know, for them. So cool. So that was all you, and you guys were like, okay, I'm cool with that. It was easy. Did you even care? You didn't even care.
It was, I think it's a cool name for sure. And I kind of like if you like see our design, it's like our logo. It's like two headed cow.
Yeah.
And like that, like there's like, it's based on like a comic that's about like this farmer and how he, this cow that's just born of two heads and it's going to be sold to the freak show later in the night. But it takes that one night where it's alive on the farm and just looks at the moon and it just enjoys life. So I really appreciate that comic. It has nothing to do with our company, but that's kind of where an inspiration came from, the logo. Yeah,
that's cool. I love that. Yeah. So what about you, Zane?
Yeah. I mean, we had a few names. I'm trying to remember exactly we were throwing around. And I think Small Town Beef kind of just stuck the most, at least with me. And I was like, I think it is interesting. And yeah, the two-headed cow definitely like sold me on it. And I was like, I think it just stands out. And it's just kind of freaky a little bit.
Do we have other names?
I don't remember. But yeah, no, you're right on like the...
Well, people had ideas, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, one of them was like A to Z, which I... It's because Aiden and to Zane.
They just left you out.
That's kind of why we didn't do it, because it was like, how do we incorporate Cyrus? And we actually have like a wedding company. It's called ACZ Wedding, but we don't really. I mean, we've done a few weddings, but
So that's the whole thing with you guys and your generation, is that you can have a full blown company and then like another one, like literally like two that you're working, and it's just the norm. It's just like, you know, we have two different types of two different companies. And whereas I don't think you guys realize that's for some generations, that's like, how do you do that? Like, how do you take it? So for instance, was this just like a hobby, or did you know, no, we're going to focus and make this a production company? Like, did that ever happen? Was it just a side hustle fun? We enjoyed it. And then you realize this, we want to make this, we want to be serious. Or are you still like having fun with it and you're not serious?
I feel like for me, it's always been like, I'm mainly an editor and I do post-production. And I've always just done it for fun. And I ended up taking a class in high school, which, because I would edit when I was younger, but it'll just be for silly videos and like YouTube-esque stuff. And then I took the class in high school, which is this broadcasting class, and it was heavily focused on editing, and I really enjoyed it, and it kind of brought back my love for it. And I was really close friends with Zane, and he was going to Scottsdale because they have one of the biggest, at that time they had like the best film school.
Yeah,
it's a great film school.
SCC, and I don't know, it just kind of took off from there, I feel
like. So some famous folks have been at the...
Bill Hader went there.
Bill Hader.
Yeah. He's like the most prominent person from SCC.
Was there another? I thought there was another one too.
There's probably a few, but Bill Hader is definitely the most famous one. Just from SNL.
Oh no, does Spielberg just contribute to it? He didn't go there though.
He didn't go there, but he lived here in Phoenix.
Yeah, I think he went to Arcadia High School.
Yeah, he did go to Arcadia.
Yeah, so he's definitely like... So there's root... I mean, there's like a culture here in Arizona, you know, that because of Spielberg, that, you know, film production is possible, you know, like it's people here can make it. So does that inspire you, or does it even connect with you at all?
I think right now, just with the industry in Phoenix is not the best for like independent filmmaking. I think a lot of people will either go to New Mexico or California, just because it has better tax laws and stuff like that.
Also, with the laws.
Yeah. But ASU is growing. Like, their film program is really growing, and they have a lot of connections to LA. So I think a lot of people are starting to go to ASU film more. And especially when we were at ASU, they just opened up the Mix Center, which is this building in Mesa. It was like multi-million dollar building. It's just insane. So we were lucky enough to be there just in time for that to have opened.
Good.
Yeah, it's really good now. Like, when we started going to ASU,
They didn't have it.
They didn't have that at all. Yeah. They just had like this little, it was like this little building for all the film students and
stuff. On the Tempe campus.
But now it's amazing. It's like, it's really high.
So just
end.
In the short time you guys have been there, it sounds like, because it's not, you've been out of school, a couple years? It's not like it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why do you think that? Is there just a demand for it, or?
I was going to say, like, it kind of relates to like what you said earlier about like how it's very like uncommon for previous generations to have like multiple businesses and things like that. I think that like the rise of like social media and just like digital culture within our generation has made it like easier, more accessible for like people just like kind of like dip their toes in different things and like different businesses as a result. And I think that kind of like relates to like filmmaking too. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's true like what Zane was saying about how the biggest communities are going to be in like New Mexico and LA in terms of like the industry. Mm-hmm. But I do think because we are more able to take matters in our own hands, whether it be like with cameras or just like community, I think that like the current digital age makes it like easier to like find a film community where you are. And I think Arizona is like going to rise in that regard.
So that's actually good to know. So you guys have all your, so you bring all your different skill sets together. You guys have your unique skill set. So share with the Crystal Clear Moment, you know, listeners, like what is an independent film and what does it take, you know, for someone who's just, you know, you hear about it. And most people hear like Sundance, you know, and right. Then it stops. That's kind of all you know, right? It kind of stops. But there's definitely more to it, you know. Like what is that? Give me a one-on-one, a quick YouTube.
I think it's just different for different productions. I mean, especially for us, since we're so small and upcoming, like we were just very skeleton crew. Like if you were to see us, like when we were filming the documentary, you'd be like, okay, this is just like some small ragtag team. Like you wouldn't think anything of it. But I feel like the product was pretty professional. So you never know, like you could have like a big set and it's just like kind of garbage, you know, like you don't mm-hmm. know. It's more about the filmmakers themselves and it is about the production of it, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of community and people to come in and just have passion for your project, you know, mm-hmm. and put in that work, especially because none of us, I mean, we weren't getting paid at all. Like we're the ones paying for the film. And this is for any of our future projects too. Like, we're just doing this on the side. Like anything that we make is like, we're trying to fund and crowdfund, and it's just hard getting funding and people to really buy in on your project.
So how do you get funding? What does that look like?
Asking your friends, family,
investors, and
yourself.
That's how we got it. Like we would ask like our friends and family and just like other people. Like my dad like helped a lot with the funding because he like would ask like former clients of his, he mm-hmm. used to be a landscaper, and he asked like former clients of his if they were willing to like contribute, and they did. So like mm-hmm. that was like mm-hmm. a big part of like, you just have to like be creative and like kind of like think outside the box and like go to like sources that you wouldn't usually think of.
So you get the funding's kind of organic. You just go get it. So banks aren't just like giving out money for this. I didn't think so. No. So it comes from family, friends. Okay, so you get the funding, and where did the idea come up? Because I think people love documentaries. People do. People love learning about people and what they do and how they did it. People love stories. Mm-hmm. And you guys are master storytellers. So how did you know that you wanted to do this documentary? What drove you into it? What was the this person, so that you guys know, and you're going to give the listeners information where they can actually see it. But tell us a little bit about the name and what it is and why of all the stories out there, why did you land with this gentleman?
Well, so me and my dad, we were looking on the computer because, long story short, my mom was taking a road trip across Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of planning out the road trip for her on like maps and like seeing what place she could stop and whatnot. And we came across this town called Paul's Valley on Google Maps. It's in Oklahoma. And in Paul's Valley, we saw that there's like a toy and action figure museum. And that like piqued my interest particularly just because I like collect action figures. And so we looked at that and eventually we found the owner, and it was this guy named Kevin Stark. So initially it was like already like the fact that he owned this museum was eccentric enough. And then we went to his website and we saw like this gold mine of just like artistic content. Yes. And so I remember like my dad, because we have a group chat where it's like us and then my dad, and like he sent like a link to like Kevin's site to the group chat. And it was like Zane. I believe that was actually like, we just made a documentary about this guy.
What about him that made you say, we need to tell his story?
Well, I think initially it was the toy museum was just kind of crazy. Just like this random hole in the wall in Oklahoma, middle of nowhere, just like this random toy museum. But then if you go to his website, like he has all these personas and it's just like really random and weird, eccentric guy.
So true. Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, let's just go out there and film. And we've been looking for a project, something to do. And I'd been like, all right, we need to do something. And then, they sent that. And I was like, let's just make a documentary. And then we did.
So I want people to really understand that when you guys say toy museum, that sounds like a little museum.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
This toy museum is ridiculous. Like, It is like every nook and cranny of in that place had a something. And yeah. It big, large, every type of figurine, toy imaginable, massive. Like it was that in his, and it was kind of creepy because it was so many. And it was so many different types of toys. And it was displayed like just, you can tell he was like obsessed in a good way mm-hmm. with his museum. So it wasn't like, you know, you're going down to a regular museum, like, you know, arts museum or a science museum. No, this was completely different. So that alone, I want people to get an idea, like in your head, like there's every type of toy. So what toy in the museum surprised you that you saw? Like, wow, I didn't know they had that. Like, what you guys share? Which one?
I don't know. He talked about like, he had like a really expensive Barbie, like a really old one.
Yeah, like it was like one of the first editions. I think it was like the first like brunette.
First,
like a brunette Barbie.
Barbie or something. But he had like a lot of like, he used to work on TV shows. I guess the concept arts for the mm-hmm. like Ninja Turtles and The Simpsons. So he had like his old Simpsons designs and stuff, or the toys that they were that he made out mm-hmm. of it. And I mean, that was pretty cool. I'm not a huge like action figure guy, but it was cool. And he had like a lot of like multiple variations of stuff. Like he had like anime figures as well, and Power Rangers and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool.
So is it hard to, you know, you like you said, you have an interest, but not really. Is it hard to tap in, you know what I mean, and really be able to tell someone's story that really isn't something that is a personal interest? Like, how do you turn that switch?
I mean, we went up there and we really didn't know what kind of story we're going to tell. Like Zane said earlier, it was only supposed to be like this short, very short documentary.
Yeah.
And then, so we went up for the first time, I think it was like 2 years ago, maybe?
Like a year ago.
Close. It was a year ago. Yeah. We went up for like a few days for a weekend, like mm-hmm. 4 days. And we shot it and we just saw that there's so much more to this guy and that we needed more. So we, I guess like a few months later, we went back up for like a whole week and mm-hmm. we saw more of him. We shot like kind of like his daily life, mm-hmm. what he did on day-to-day basis. And I think that was more interesting mm-hmm. than the toy museum.
Yeah. Yeah,
that diminished. It's interesting, the toy museum, but he had like these different, he became different people. Yeah. I guess that's easier way to say it, right?
Yeah. That's a funny way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, like he became like a different person. Like he even like dressed, like he embodied mm-hmm. the yeah. different yeah. people that he became. And they were extremely different. So is that where it turned to like, Story, the Toy Story Museum is cool and all, but this dude over here is, we need to capture him. Cause he was different, but you know, and he kind of liked it. It looked like he enjoyed it.
Oh, for
to
sure.
To a degree, yeah, the attention and all.
He loves the attention. Yeah,
he's definitely a ham, huge ham.
A ham.
He was definitely a ham. I could tell. Yeah. He liked the attention. Yeah. I definitely saw that. Yeah.
No, I think it's interesting that you mentioned like him like turning, he really did like turn into different people. That's like what was so strange about it. It's like, I mean, on like a physical level, it was insane that he could like paint like these different styles so masterfully. Like you couldn't tell it was like the same person that painted like each of the personas, like respective works. But then there was also this like complete identity change. Like he changed the way he spoke, he changed the way he thought, he changed the way he approached situations and like just interacted with people. So I thought it was interesting, and like it was like part of like why we wanted to do it is because we wanted to like kind of tap in and figure out like the why of it all, of like mm-hmm. why is he doing this? Why does he feel the need to do this to himself? Why does he feel the need to be different people, like mm-hmm. you said, you know?
Yeah. So don't you find that like telling stories is about the why?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so is that how you enter it? Like your mindset, you enter like, this is guys interesting, why? And is that your approach? Do you go that direction? I just kind of want to get in the mindset of how do you know a story is going to be interesting?
I think especially with documentaries, you don't go on it with like such a certain like structure mm-hmm. and it's kind of made in the edit room. And I think as we were editing, we're constantly asking ourselves questions like, what do we want the audience to think? So those are the kind of like, we're like mm-hmm. making the themes of the film in the edit. And that's kind of how we built the why. Like, those questions of that will make the audience ask, like, why is he doing this? And like kind of just helping the audience push them, kind of what we were like experiencing there. And we even got to experience more that wasn't on camera that I wish that the audience could see, because there's like even like these other layers of him that the film doesn't really show.
Yeah, you know what, and after, so that everyone knows, after the showing, we did, you had a panel discussion, and yeah. You guys talked about,
yeah.
There was so much that you guys, about him, which I can't imagine, that you really, you could have shared, you just couldn't share all of it. So what was your crystal clear moment, or what was your project that you did, other than this one, that you felt really good about? Like you said, you know, we're good, we got something here.
Like, you're asking, like, what project before this one?
Before this one.
Well, that the first one that we, like, really did together and, like, completed together was definitely this 5-minute short horror movie for a competition. Mm-hmm. We submitted it. It didn't get accepted, but that's fine. Like, it was, like, it was, like, the first thing we, like, put all three of our minds toward and, like, kind of, it was, like, a fruitionized from our minds, you know? So, yeah, like, that was the first one. And, like, after that, I was like, okay, let's just go to bigger and better things. And eventually, it's the documentary, I would say.
That's good. Yeah. So it's three of you guys running this company. How is that? Three friends. Like, how does that work? How do you make a decision? Is it democracy? Is it you take turns making the decision? Like, how do you do that?
I mean, first, you just kind of hope that everyone agrees on something. Yeah. And then after that, it's definitely like... democracy, I would say. I think three people was a really good like number to have in a group, because like there's always gonna be a tiebreaker if like there's a disagreement. So you kind of
that's
just
pressure, like being the tiebreaker. Who's ever been like the tiebreaker and you felt the pressure?
I mean, there's been so many, like when we were editing this documentary, we've had a lot of like creative differences, like what directions we want to take, and I don't think we've ever really had like something where it has to go to like a tiebreaker. It's like we kind of like we trust each other to make the right judgment.
Okay, that's
right?
It. Yeah.
Like if you don't agree, like I think if they the person who wants a certain way has a good enough reason for what they want, like you just kind of have to go along with it. And it's not like it's not a bad thing either.
No,
it's
not
like,
at all. Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good system.
Yeah. I love that you said trust, because that's what it comes down to. Because trust doesn't mean you have to even like what they're doing or saying. It doesn't have to mean you understand it. It just means you trust the person that what they're going to do. So it's very much so an earned value that you have. So would you say that's would be like a foundation of your because it's a friendship and a business relationship at the same time.
Yeah.
So are there times where you shift modes? Like we're in friend mode and we're in business mode, or is it all flowing? Is it just always a flow?
Yeah, flowing is a better way to put it, I would say. Like it was never like, it never felt like I was like dealing with strangers at any point. You know, it always felt like I was dealing with my friends.
These guys aren't strangers.
Yeah. It was like, even when we were editing, we didn't really like, we edit at a studio at Aiden's house, and we didn't really hang out with each other like outside of that. We kind of just showed up
and you're with people 24/7. It's like
we rarely like went out like after that. Like we'd be there every weekday, some weekends, and then that's it. Like
I think that's smart, you know. So during your downtimes you hang out, or are you just still doing your thing and you guys get together and collaborate, or the business relationship, has it changed your friendship?
Yeah, I think we hang out with each other all the time. We're almost like brothers now, in a sense, where we don't have to hang out like outside of this. I mean, we do hang out like all the time, but I think just creating with each other is what's more important to us.
Right.
Like we'd rather create stuff than like go to the bar or like go to the club or stuff like that. Yeah. You know, we'd rather create things together.
It's just not necessary. Like we're so that close now.
Right.
We don't like need that like constant like hangout or whatever. Like I don't know, we just always like, we always know we're there for each other, so.
It's kind of like, it's like brothers. So who in the group is always thinking about it, like never turns off their mind.
Yeah, it's pretty common. It never leaves my mind.
Yeah.
Aiden, you're always thinking about it. You always got it turned on. Yeah, pretty much.
I'd say so.
Yeah. So who in the group you kind of got to get motivated to kind of dial in? Like, come on, you got to get them.
He's laughing. Yeah, I like that because you laughed.
Well, Aiden kind of looked at me.
A big part of the big motivator was like behind the scenes, my dad, honestly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, if I'm being honest, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I take it serious. You know, I like to take my time too.
Yeah.
I'm okay. A big, I call it theory crafting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Where you just.
Is a word for it.
It's like your thing.
I've never heard you say this.
You know, okay, so I'm the editor. You have to build it. I feel like you have to build it in your mind sometimes first, mm-hmm. especially with this documentary. Like,
yes,
we're creating the story pretty much out of nowhere, you know, like,
yeah,
we had like storyboards and stuff, but they don't like, if you looked at our original storyboard for the film and then our film now, they're completely different. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some elements that are the same, but it's still the structure of the film is
just like the whole like outline in general.
Yeah, the outline, everything. So like we created a whole film in the edit room, and you have to think about it. You have to take your time with it.
Yeah.
And I know like a lot of like just reading about editors and their process, like they just say, put it down, just start putting clips down. That's it. But I don't know. I kind of like to take my own approach and take my time with it, but.
And it sounds like they respect that, so they know that you're going to do it.
I hope so.
Who's the parent? Who's the one that's always, you know, going to be of reason and going to always make sense and, you know, who's showing up like that?
I'm not going to claim my title.
Do we have that?
You don't have that one. That's fine, yeah. Have that. That's good. Like, so all, you guys all probably parent each other and don't even realize it.
Yeah, that's
probably
the way to put it.
Hold each other accountable, you know, making sure, like, okay, guys, let's get going. So let's talk about the friendship some more, because I think that's a fascinating part of it. When you're creating, when you're talking about the creative space of, you know, and you're thinking about like your next project, how do you know like when this is the one? Is it a feeling? Is there someone who has to present like facts? Is there someone that's in the group who's like can blend the intuition, feelings, facts? Like, how do you know this is the one?
Like in terms of like a project?
Yeah.
I think it depends. I think it's good that us three kind of have a similar taste in film, and we all have a similar like direction that we want to go. Like, we kind of all want to go narrative. I know Cyrus, he always talks about music videos and kind of doing more comedy kind of things, but me and Aiden definitely want to do, I mean, he definitely wants to do like narrative too, but I think narrative and documentaries are kind of like where we want to land. Mm-hmm. So I think in that essence that we kind of are going towards the same like topics and themes that we want to pursue. So usually the projects that we have lined up are kind of what we want to do anyways.
But everything is like a story. So even like videos to tell, everything you do is a story. And I don't think people get that everything is about telling a story. That's where I think your generation understands storytelling better than any others. And I mean, and I will tell you, organizations pay me to go in and teach leaders how to tell stories. You know, people get certified in storytelling and how that shows up like in a corporate space where like if a leader wants to influence his staff to do something, he does it by way of telling a story, which means you have to be authentic, right? You can't just be up there faking, people read you.
Right.
You have to know how to tell a story. Like, you got to know how to put it together. It needs to be relevant. I mean, these are things you guys do naturally, whereas people are learning how to tell stories, and it's becoming part of culture.
TikTok.
You know, you see TED Talks, you see, you know, podcasts, people are telling stories. Right. It's everywhere. So you guys do a really good job of it. Do you see that? Do you see that being a skill, or is it just natural for you?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty valued skill nowadays too. Like, like everyone is, you know, everyone wants to be a content creator, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone on Instagram, it's basically, you're just telling mini stories. Mm-hmm. Like, that's basically all it is. And I think it is really high value skill nowadays, of course, like since you get paid for it.
Absolutely, you do. Yeah, you get paid for that. You can even, I mean, you think about anyone that's high profile, they're good storytellers at this point, that you have to, you just can't just show up and be. So yeah, you're right. But it is funny how everyone is a content creator and everyone's telling little stories, and the people that do really well are the better storytellers. So I think that's the thing I love about what you're doing, is that you're taking a natural gift and you're really making it something. Yeah. Is this hard for you? Is this, what you're doing is hard, or is it easy? Does it come natural?
I mean, I think anything that is going to be good is going to be hard, you know, like putting in the work. It's just how you look at it. If you enjoy what you're doing, you know, is it hard? It's just kind of relative. So I enjoy what we do. And yeah, it's hard work, you know, like long hours and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating at times, but I love doing it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm doing it for free, you know,
it's hard for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that. So what's your favorite movie? Like, what movie really that, I mean, think about just, and you only can name one. Mm-hmm. I know that's hard. Like, what movie just really, you could watch it over and over again?
That's hard.
This is hard, I know.
I'll just be like some steerman answer, and I'll say like the 2005 Spider-Man 2. because like, it's just like a movie that I watched as a kid and grew up with. And each time I watch it, I'm like more and more enamored with like the sincerity of it, while also like the way it incorporates technical filmmaking so well. It's just well-made film, a great-looking film. It's written with so much heart. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I think that combination never fails. So,
yeah, love it. What's yours, Cyrus?
It's hard for me.
I know it is.
And I know it changes, because if I ask you tomorrow, you probably have another. I get it.
Right now, I'm going to say Birdman.
I knew it.
Just because the story is amazing. And what I really loved about it from when I first saw it was that it's all shot as it's a one take. So right. So they don't, they do cut it, but it looks, they hide it so well. Like,
and
they,
that's
do
a jazz, the jazz, Birdman, the jazz guy, or
it's like a musical.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Okay.
Michael Keaton.
It's basically about like being Batman, and then like, you get washed up and you still want to be Batman after it. But it's an amazing movie, and the one take kind of style that they had was really amazing, and I always loved it since I first seen it, and it's always been my favorite one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah. What about you? Now, I know that you are, this is probably very difficult for you, because I know you love movies.
A movie that I always like go back and watch if like I ever feel like I'm losing my passion for filmmaking or anything. Like, and I've seen it like so many times, but it's always like every other year or so I always go back to Shawshank Redemption.
That
movie. Yeah,
I do too. It's not my top. It's like my top five.
Is it? Okay. What's your favorite?
You guys may or may not. I know my son Kobe, who's here, knows this is my favorite. Godfather.
Oh,
it's classic for a reason.
It's classic.
It is classic.
The storytelling in that is unbelievable. I love how it just unfolds. Mm-hmm. And I always see something different every time. But I always look at it differently. Is that how you look at it? I look at a movie and I actually try to look for something unique. Like, you know, so I look at it like a student, at least to me. I think I am. I'm like a mini student. I watch it. But I watch it, I can't even tell you so many. I'm probably in the hundreds.
Wow.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. I'm low-key obsessed.
Wait, out of curiosity, how often do you find yourself like watching movies?
Good question. You know, we watch movies a lot. My husband he's a movie watcher. Mm-hmm. So we go through different genres, but we like to watch movies. You know, I honestly remember when COVID, when the people weren't going to the movie theater, I actually missed that. Going and supporting big films and a big screen. To me, it always felt like an event, you know? So we enjoy watching movies. And sometimes I'll go in like just a regular watcher. And then sometimes I go in like a student, like, okay, everyone says that the writing's great. Okay, focus on writing. Everyone says editing's great. Focus on how they did it. That to me makes it more interactive, just like in my head.
That's interesting.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. That's why when I was invited, you know, I think we got our tickets like right away. We were so excited because I love documentaries. And I was like, wow, what story are they going to tell? So I'm so happy that you guys decided to come here and tell your story for Crystal Clear Moment. Listeners, unique. If people want to see your latest. It's the king, and was it the king? I am king.
In this world, I am king.
Yes. How can they? Like, what can they do? How can they reach you? What's a good way? And they have funds.
So we're taking the film to a festival circuit, so it's not out for public still yet.
Okay.
We're trying to get it onto streaming platforms after that.
Okay.
Or we might just put it online, depending on what we decide. So okay. We're not sure yet, but it's not out there yet, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, you know, guess what? When it does, let me know. Okay. I can always share it out.
Yes.
You know
That'd
what I mean?
Great.
But definitely, you know, you can do some research and tell the story. So
yes.
In the beginning, I said you guys were Gen Zers. So we're going to play a game.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to play a true false game. And it's about your culture, Gen Z culture. So I'm going to ask random questions. You're going to either pick up an F for false. The statement's either false or true.
Okay.
And if it's, you know, some conversation, we can deal with that. But let's just, again, if the statement to you says false, put your F up. If it says true, put T. So if we say I'm obsessed, we mean it's about interested for about 48 hours. True or false?
This is about Gen Zers?
Yeah.
Obsessed.
It's about you.
True.
He said true.
48
if you're obsessed,
hours.
Yeah.
True.
Obsessed means about 48 hours. I feel that way. Okay, so we got a couple false and we have a true.
No, it's like the soup of the day kind of like.
Yeah.
The flavor of the week kind of thing.
So when someone says I'm obsessed. Yeah. But for you guys, it, like when you say it, you mean it. It sounds like it.
Yeah, I mean like I don't deny that like obsessed. Doesn't mean like all the time. I think 48 hours or less is a little too like harsh.
Yeah.
Like maybe give the interest like a week.
That's too
funny. A week.
Right.
Okay. A week. Yeah.
A week. Okay. All right. So you texting someone, if you text just like question marks, that's communication. True or false?
True.
Ready to say that again, please.
If you're texting someone and you literally just put question marks in there, that's communication.
I mean,
all the time.
Yeah. It's like you wilding.
It's kind of a mean spirited, honestly. But.
I mean, well, I guess it does depend on the context too. Like if you just like randomly send someone question marks, like unsolicited, then it's like, okay, yeah, you're gonna have to like elaborate. But
if someone sent me a bunch of questions, I'm like, what are you sending? Like, what? Yeah. What do you want? Why? I might even say, pick up the phone. Okay. Here's another true false. You need at least 3 devices open at all times, alive. True or false?
False. I need
two.
Two devices.
Wait, which one?
And see, that's pretty cool because people think that you guys are so plugged in to your technology. Look at him. He says, we are. Yeah.
I mean, three is a little too far. Yep. Like, you need phone and computer, and that's it. But
much watching Family Guy.
You don't need much more than that.
Okay, yeah.
So here's another one for you. Gen Z's trust issues, true or false? Gen Z's trust issues started with Instagram hiding likes. Look at there. I love that
that's
response.
Good question.
Yeah, true or false?
Started with the Kardashians.
No, I was just saying, it started when Instagram hid the activity feed where you couldn't see what people were doing. That's
what it started.
That was
fire.
I like stalking people and seeing what they were doing. It was fun, I don't trust people.
You're trying to see. Look at there. Yeah. So here's one for you. True or false? If the vibe is off, you're immediately leaving. No explanation. Mm,
sometimes a weird vibe is good.
I'll do like both.
I like that.
I'm down to stick it out.
Yeah.
I want to leave.
If it's interesting.
I want to leave, but I'll stick it out.
Well, Cyrus usually is the weird vibe.
No.
No. You're the weird vibe.
I think there's a power in like going somewhere and trying to change the vibe yourself. If it's futile, then yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just pull out my camera. That's being a filmmaker, you're there for the weird vibes.
That's true.
Yeah, because you're looking to see like what's going on.
Let me get this recording.
Okay, here's one for you, then we're gonna wrap up here. Okay, so I'll be there in 5 minutes. It's pretty much Gen Z saying I haven't left the house yet.
Oh,
this is Cyrus right here.
Yes.
Look at that. That I know is true. That's happened to me. I've been waiting. I'm probably still waiting for someone who's going to be there in 5 minutes. And it's not so cool. So good. Again, thank you guys.
Thank you for being here.
And again, listeners, thank you so much for plugging in and tapping into Crystal Clear Moments. I appreciate you guys. Definitely always come back. You guys realize you are really a hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to tap into like relationships.
So we're getting controversial.
Yeah.
Next time.
Okay. Oh, next time we're gonna go there. This time I wanted to be about you. Next time we're gonna get a little messy.
Okay. I like
so
that.
You guys good with that spicy, like spicy mm-hmm. margaritas?
Yeah. Yeah. Right, cool. talk to the unks.
You I got like it. That. Love it. All right. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Bye bye.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.